Thank you, Ms. Chapman. Appreciate that. Those are some probing questions to think about as she sang those. And I thought about the theme that Pastor mentioned with impact. Really, she's asking, are we making an impact? And then what kind of impact are we making in this world where God has placed us and the assignment that He's given us in the Great Commission. Let me say again to you as a church, thank you for your hospitality. It's been great to be here. I've been really looking forward to coming, spending this Sunday with you. And it's been, I think, a great Sunday. And anytime a church emphasizes missions, it's a great thing. So I praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for the church. Praise the Lord for a pastor. All that the Lord's doing here. Just been exciting to be with you today. Let me say also to you as a church, thank you for your partnership in the Great Commission and the BMM missionaries that you support here. Appreciate that. Not that I'm excluding the other missionaries that are not with BMI, but I am a little bit prejudiced. I mean, you know, if I'm the president, I think I'm supposed to be partial, okay? So I am, but thank you for your partnership in that. And then also, many of you are familiar with the Papua New Guinea Bible Project. I want to say thank you for your involvement there, and we're excited about what the Lord's going to do there. This, by the way, this 2020, BIMI celebrates our 60th anniversary, 1960, June of 1960. BIMI was formed at Highland Park Baptist Church there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we're thankful for what the Lord's done over the last 60 years. But recently, this Papua New Guinea Bible Project, another thing that we want to celebrate in 2020, if the Lord so allows, is passing out the 1,000,000th Bible in Papua New Guinea. So if you would pray with us about that, you know, we're talking about and kind of emphasizing today about the faith promise missions commitment, the financial commitment for missions, but perhaps I could throw out this challenge. Maybe God would have you to make a faith promise prayer commitment that maybe every day or maybe once a week you would pray for something that God would lay on your heart. I don't want to limit this, but if I might suggest the Papua New Guinea Bible Project, there is still a lot of work to be done. The money has come in to pay for the Bibles themselves. So that is a big answer to prayer. We are thrilled about that. But now Papua New Guinea, the topography there, it is not an easy thing to get to all these different places, and it does cost money. So that's the last big leg of this project, if you will. And it's exciting to see. I had the opportunity to go there to Papua New Guinea to help pass out some of these Bibles. And it's just an absolutely amazing, like nothing you would ever experience anywhere else. I don't have a lot of time, but I'll just tell you a quick story while I was there. We were going to get into a boat and go across the water to another island to pass out Bibles. And I thought, okay, this would be great. This, you know, I'm excited. So we went to bed that night, got up the next morning, we went to the boat. And I'm looking around, and there's 15 of us standing there. And I looked down at the boat. I thought it was a skiff, not a boat. And I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the men. I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? And so we all climb into that skiff. And you have to understand, it has slats on the bottom, which are just like bamboo slats. So we get in, and we sit down on these slats. And, you know, I don't want to be inappropriate in church, but just to say, it was very uncomfortable, okay? And where I'm sitting there with my knees pulled up to my chest, just like everybody else is, because we don't even have a place to put out our legs, you know. And boy, I'm thinking, this is going to be some ride. And so we start out over the water, and I ask, I said, so how long is this ride to this island? And they said, well, it'll take about an hour. I said, okay, Lord, help me to endure for 1 hour, you know. And so we take off across the water. Well, because there were more guys in the boat than should have been, it took us longer, 3 hours later. We finally got to the island. I was so sore. And I got out of that boat, skiff. I was so glad to get out. And we were going to walk to the school. They told us it would be a 5-minute walk to get to the school. And I thought, well, great, I need to walk. After that ride, just let me walk. And we started walking towards the school. And somebody came and got us. They stopped us. They said, no, 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 they're going to bring the truck from the school. The truck is going to take you to the school. And, okay, that's fine. So the truck finally got there. And, by the way, don't think like Ford F-150 or Silverado. Okay, it's not that kind of truck, okay? This is a real truck, all right? had just wooden planks on the back that we sat in. But I'm thinking, you know, 5-minute walk, this won't take long. This will be great. Well, an hour and a half, truck ride later, we finally got to the school. And you have to understand this because I'm thinking, you know, I've got this thing of you know, being on time, you know, all that. And you just have to put all that aside when you get to Papua New Guinea. But I'm thinking, all this extra time is taken. These young people, they're going to be gone from school. They're not even going to be there. They're not going to care that we're there because we're so late. We finally get there, and the Bibles had been shipped there earlier, and so we got all the Bibles, and we started carrying them up. We got up to where the students were. There were 1,200 high school students sitting under a tin roof on the concrete, excited about the fact that we had finally arrived. I'm telling you, we got up and we were able to just a good 30 minutes just preach the gospel to these young people. Then we gave them their very own Bible, and they had already been stamped inside with the name of the local Independent Baptist Church in the area. We got up, when we told them that we were going to give them their own Bible, it was as if we were watching a football game and our team just scored a touchdown. Applause, cheering, because they were going to have their own Bible. I'm telling you, just to experience that was absolutely amazing. And a lot more we can say. You all are familiar with the project, but let me just say this is something that God will use till He comes back. Because the churches over there are experiencing people walking through the back door with one of these Bibles saying, we were told to come to this church. And yeah, come on in. Let us tell you more about what that book says. And some of the churches are actually starting Sunday school classes just for the people who receive the Bibles because they have so many coming in. And these schools, they're actually requesting of the Independent Baptist pastors in the area that they would come to the school and do a Christian character class once a week, if not more, using the Bible as their textbook because now all the students have that textbook. What an amazing opportunity. And maybe if you would just consider praying for the Papua New Guinea Bible Project as you think about it. Take your Bibles now. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. I just want to take some time tonight to look at this one verse. I'll try not to be long, but you've heard preachers say that before, okay? I will try, though. But I want to tonight really want to encourage us. Encourage us, obviously, in the work of the Lord, but as the emphasis of today is in missions. And what God has asked each of us to do in missions, to continue on, to not quit, to be found faithful when He returns. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, Paul writes and says this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word, thank You for what it reminds us of, what it teaches us, Lord, how it instructs us. And we ask now, God, that in this time You would use Your word to guide us and to help us and to encourage us. Lord, I pray that You would help us, each one of us, to be found faithful. Lord, please have Your will and way now in this time. Fill me with Your spirit and help me, Lord, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to divide this verse up into three different parts. I'm going to use the punctuation of the verse itself to divide it. First of all, I want to talk about the call to tireless well-doing. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Secondly, the certainty of reaping. He says, "For in due season we shall reap." But then finally, the condition of the promise. He says, "There if we faint not." So first of all, the call to tireless well-doing. He says, "Let us not be weary." I'm not asking this question officially, but if I were to ask this question, hey, how many tonight are weary? Probably a few hands would go up, especially those of you who didn't get your Baptist nap in today, okay? You know, we become weary because we're human beings. It's part of living on this side of eternity. But as Paul says here, let us not be weary, he's not necessarily focused on the physical side. His focus is on the spiritual side. So as I read that verse of Scripture, I say to myself, okay, what do I need to do to keep from becoming weary? And as I thought this through, I realized that those things that we do on the physical side to keep us from becoming weary, if we bring that application over to the spiritual side, we can keep from becoming weary. Just a couple of thoughts along these lines. Number one, we need to get the proper daily nutrition that our body needs, or we will become weary. It's interesting, we are what we eat, as the saying goes, and lots of other things that we could talk about, but you know, our diet does play a big part in how weary we become or don't become. I absolutely love Reese's peanut butter cups. I mean, if I don't get an amen here, I know I won't get it any other time tonight, okay? I mean, Reese's peanut butter cups, that's about as good as it gets, except for maybe a Reese's Fast Break, okay? If you haven't had that, you got to try that. But you know, I want you to think about this. As much as I love those, if my entire diet consisted only of Reese's peanut butter cups, even though there is a little protein with peanut butter, eventually, once that sugar wore off, I would become very weary. The same applies in the spiritual realm. We have to be careful about what we eat. There's a lot of, if you will, junk food out in there in the world today. And you and I need to make sure that we get the daily nutrition that we need spiritually. And that is, of course, the Word of God. The psalmist says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." The Bible talks about the meat and the milk of the Word and how we need to be in God's Word. You say, "Preacher, why bring this up on a missions emphasis day?" Well, here's why. Anytime any church or any individual commits to getting the gospel around the world, Satan is going to fight. And it makes it that much more important that we're in His Word, getting that nutrition that we need. I don't know if it's your habit to be in God's Word every day, but if it's not, let me encourage you, start that habit. Every day, open up God's Word and let God speak to you. And then speak to God by way of prayer. But let me also add this, and this I'm preaching to myself here. For those of you who like me, it is your habit. Every day I'm up, I read God's Word. I want God to speak to me. But you know how often I open up God's Word and I read and I'm halfway through that first chapter. And I realize I'm thinking about my to-do list for the day. I'm thinking about this problem or that problem. I'm not really focused. And you know what? I don't even know what I just read. You know what I got to do? I got to start all over again. How important it is for you and I to make sure we get the daily nutrition that we need, spiritually speaking, so we don't become weary. Here's another one, exercise. Boy, I don't know of anybody that really likes exercise. Exercise is one of those things that we kind of dread. But once we do it, we look back and we say, "Boy, I'm glad I did that. That has helped me." Spiritually speaking, it's the same way. There's a lot of spiritual exercises that we need to be doing, and we don't necessarily love to do them when we look forward to that point when it needs to be done. But once we do it, we realize, "Thank you, Lord, I needed that." And when we think about spiritual exercise, a couple of things I thought about. Number one, Paul says to Timothy, "But refuse profane and old wise fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." We need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Now, a lot of things we could talk about, but we're talking about faith promise, grace giving. We're talking about missions. And I just want to remind you, this is a spiritual exercise. An exercise unto godliness. Godliness is to become more like Jesus Christ, to become more like God. And, you know, as you think about this, God sacrificed, He gave His best, He gave His Son who came to this earth, who died, who was buried, who rose again, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, God is asking us to follow that example, to give, to sacrifice, sometimes our best. Why? So that others around the world can hear the message about Jesus Christ and how He came, how He died on the cross, how He was buried, He rose again, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, how important it is that you and I exercise ourselves unto godliness. But also, here's another one. Acts 24:16, Paul says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." He says, exercise yourself to make sure you have a clear conscience. Nothing like a clear conscience when you lay your head on the pillow each night. And as you think about that, he says here, have a clear conscience, conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Here's the application. This commitment that you have made and or that you will make is a commitment that you don't make it to your pastor. You don't make this commitment to the deacons. You don't make this commitment even to those missionaries. You make this commitment to God Himself. And as you make that commitment, let me encourage you, keep a clear conscience. You say, what do you mean? Follow through with the commitment that you made. You say, well, preacher, there's been some times here where I've really kind of slipped. I've not been as faithful as I ought to be. What do I do? Pick up where you left off. You know, sometimes, by the way, when we let it slip once, you know what happens? It is easier to let it slip a second time, and then it's easy to let it slip a third time. So how important it is for you and I to exercise regularly to keep that clear conscience between us and God. But also it says here, and toward men. I guess there's several things we could say, but I'll just throw this out to you just for you to think about. I mentioned this earlier and emphasize again, I am thankful for this church and the emphasis that is being placed on missions. But Satan hates churches that love missions. One of Satan's greatest tools is divide and conquer. You understand that Satan would love to come into the midst of this church and cause division? Why? Well, you see, if you're fighting one with another, you're not going to care about missions. Your focus is going to be right here. And you understand there are really for real churches that have split over the color of the carpet? That really does happen, believe it or not. It shouldn't, but it does. What's the key? The key is to keep a clear conscience one with another. Keep short accounts. You know, when brother or sister so-and-so just didn't quite look at you right or said something that just didn't seem right and you're just going to be so offended about it, what do you want to do? Just stay bitter for the rest of your life and cause... No. Go to them. Follow what Scripture says and say, listen, just need to clear the air. And perhaps what's going to happen is you're going to have to apologize because there's something that you weren't aware of that started the whole thing. Who knows? But keep short accounts one with another. Don't let Satan come in and divide and conquer. Keep a clear conscience one with another. I need to move on. Here's another one. We need to make sure we get the proper rest. This one's obvious. If we don't get sleep, we're going to become weary. And I quoted this morning, Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Think about what he says in the next two verses. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, I love with missions the fact that we get to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to beside Him, labors together with God. What an amazing opportunity and privilege God gives us to do that. And as we work, we need to work in His strength. Don't try and do it in our own. Sometimes we think, well, how's this going to work out? How am I going to give that faith promise commitment? How am I going to keep this prayer commitment? How am I going to be the right kind of witness? Hey, give it to God. Do it in His strength. Allow Him to do the work through us rather than us try and do it. By the way, anytime I try and do it, it always ends up a mess. But if I allow Him to do the work, it ends up right. So we need to get the proper rest. And I'll mention one more and then we'll move on. For those of you who don't wear glasses, you will not appreciate this as much as those of us who do. But, you know, I have worn glasses as long as I can remember since I was a real little kid. My prescription is very, very strong. As a matter of fact, right now, y'all are just a bunch of big blobs out there. I really can't, you know, make out who's who. And I'll tell you, I have learned that to go without glasses, because my focus is not right, it wears me out. I become weary because without my glasses, I have to squint all day long, just try and see where I'm going. I remember growing up, we played basketball at our Christian school, and I want you to know that I was on the starting five. Pretty impressive, coach. But now I won't tell you there was only six total on the whole team, okay? So I guess I can't say a whole lot, but I do remember... Boy, there were so many times when my glasses would break in a game, and you know, I'd take an elbow to the side of the head, and my glasses would fly two different directions. I remember one tournament that I was in one time. My glasses went flying. The guys picked up the pieces, brought them to me, and I'm thinking, man, what am I going to do? And I'm putting the lenses up to my eyes so that I can see it. I'm looking out in the crowd. I'm trying to find my mom, and my mom, being the good mother that she is prepared. She reaches into her purse and she pulls out a roll of masking tape and she throws it to me out on the court. and I'm on the court. I'm winding around my glasses, and boy, I put them on, and there's big wads of masking tape. I was the biggest geek you have ever seen. But I was so thrilled because I could see where the goal was, and I wasn't going to have to run around trying to squint and wearing myself out because my focus wasn't right. Hey, for you and I, sometimes as human beings, if we're not careful, we can run around and our focus is going to be on everything else except the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's true, we're going to wear ourselves out. I thought about Hebrews chapter number 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And watch this. He says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, how we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Can I remind you of the message this morning? Peter did all right as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he started looking at the storm, that's when he sank. Hey, I'm pretty safe in assuming that as you made that commitment for missions 5-6 months ago, there's been some storms along the way. And maybe you're in the midst of a storm right now. I want to encourage you, keep your focus on Jesus. Look to Jesus. Now, back to Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, and let us not be weary. And then notice he says this, in well doing. Just turn over just quickly there to the book of Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to read just a few verses there. I remind you, this is one of the churches in Macedonia that's in deep poverty. They're in a great trial of affliction, but they sent once and again unto the apostle Paul. Now notice what Paul writes to them about. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 14, Paul says this, notwithstanding ye have well done. We're talking about not being weary in well doing. He said, here is well doing. What was that? That ye did communicate with my affliction. And then he goes on to explain. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let me just emphasize this. This is well-doing. Sending once and again unto the necessity of missionaries. That's exactly what God's word says here. That is well-doing. As a matter of fact, did you see the description he gives in verse number 18? He says that missions offering is an odor of a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice that's not only acceptable, but it's well-pleasing to God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but you realize when you drop that missions offering in the offering plate, there is a sweet aroma that arises to the throne of God. I don't know about you. I love to be able to drop that offering in there and say, Lord, this is my worship to you. Because I know, because God's word says, this is well-pleasing to him. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We need to move on. Why? Because, number two, the certainty of reaping. He says, for in due season we shall reap. In due season, if you look that up, one commentator says this, in the season divinely appointed for reaping. I like that. Divinely appointed. Because you see, God's timetable and my timetable rarely match. I'm the kind of guy, I want it done yesterday. But you see, God's timetable is always perfect. He's never early, he's never late. He's always right on time. And in the season divinely appointed. You know, I like what God says in Isaiah 55. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In his timing. And we don't necessarily understand his timing all the time. But we understand and know that his ways, his thoughts, his timing is way above ours. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so his ways are higher than our ways. Hey, when you leave church tonight, just stop as soon as you get outside the door after you get your coat on and look up. How high is the sky? That's how much higher his ways are than our ways. in the season divinely appointed, what's it say? We shall reap. Not we might reap. Not there's a 99% chance that we will reap. We shall reap. Why? Because God is faithful. And we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful. We shall reap. Let me emphasize this to you. This doesn't mean what the health and wealth prosperity gospel preachers of today are trying to tell you. You know, I read a story one time about a preacher who was trying to explain faith promise, grace giving to his congregation. And on the front table in the front of the church, he had set a box up here. And he had this box all rigged up. And you know, when you go to a vending machine, you put your dollar bill in there and it sucks it in there. He had one at the top where he would be able to put something in, it would suck it in. And at the same time, at the bottom one, another one would shoot out. And what he did was he took a $5 bill and he said, "All right, people, this is how grace giving works." And he showed them the $5 bill. And he said, "See, what you do is you give God $5. And he put it in the top and it sucked it in there. And out the bottom came a $20 bill. And he showed his people. He said, "See, this is how it works." He's just lying to his people. That's a bunch of baloney. That's just a gimmick. Listen, if God gave a $20 bill to everybody that gave $5 for missions, there'd be a lot more people giving to missions. It doesn't work that way. Now, I will tell you this. God does bless us financially. I can give testimony of that in our lives over the last 30 years that we've been involved in this. God has blessed us beyond what we deserve by far. But I got to tell you this. When the Bible says we shall reap, I believe the biggest blessings that will be reaped are on the other side of eternity. Not on this side. You know, we get so caught up in wanting to see, if you will, green, see money, or see some type of tangible reward right here, right now, as soon as I give. But God's timetable is not like our timetable. We shall reap. But I believe the greatest reaping will be done on the other side of eternity when we stand before Jesus Christ and see, if you will, as Pastor mentioned tonight, that big picture of all that God's doing and the fact that he just let us in on a little bit of it and how he used us in an amazing way. It's all beyond me. But I will tell you this, I think the greatest reward that we could receive and that I want to receive is if and when we stand before him. If I can hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, what a reaping, what a reward that will be. And it comes down to, are we willing to do what he's asked us to do, what he's commanded us to do? And by the way, we will stand before God. We will all stand before God. If we've never received him as our personal Savior, we'll stand before him as our judge. And I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but I'll tell you what, the Bible's very clear that those who die without Jesus Christ will spend an eternity in a place called hell. It's the great white throne. And that's a serious thing. But I will also say that for you and I, who know Christ as our personal Savior, we will stand before him as well at the Bema seat, the judgment seat. Praise the Lord, it has nothing to do with us keeping or losing our salvation because we are eternally secure in Christ, but it does have to do with rewards or the lack thereof. Now, we need to finish up. The call to tireless well-doing, the certainty of reaping, and now finally the condition of the promise. You know, I read this verse, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." Don't you just kind of wish the verse ended right there? That kind of make it a little easier. It really would. But it doesn't end there. There's the condition of the promise. He says, if we faint not. That word if, I call that a little big word. It's little, it's only two letters, but boy, it carries a big meaning, doesn't it? You think about it. Yes, you may have dessert if you've eaten all of your Brussels sprouts first. Yes, you may go outside and play if all of your homework has been completed. Yes, you will reap if you have sown first. Yes, I will bless you if you have been obedient. It's that little big word, if. And then he says this, we faint not. If we faint not. And I tell you, as I read that, I'm thinking, okay, how do I keep from fainting? I don't want to faint. I want to reap all the results that God has for me, all the rewards that He has for me. Well, the first thing I think of is if I don't become weary to begin with, I will not faint. And that brings us right back to where we started. We need to make sure we watch our nutrition, make sure we exercise regularly, make sure we get the proper rest, keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't become weary, thus will not faint. But there's one other thing that I think of when I read this verse here, and maybe some of you are already ahead of me on this. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, says this, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The key to not fainting is waiting on the Lord. I'll end with this illustration. I just want you to think about this. When you hear the word wait, what do you think about? Well, if you're like me, I kind of think about, well, okay, I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to wait. You know, we get that idea in our heads about waiting. Let me say, there's a lot of truth to that. And when we talk about waiting on the Lord, there are times when we're supposed to be still and know that He is God. Can I throw this out for free tonight? It's a pretty good idea to every now and then turn off all of those electronic gadgets that we have and just get alone with the Lord and just wait on Him. You think about that missions commitment. How's God going to take care of all that? I don't know, but turn off all that stuff, get alone with the Lord and say, God, I'm waiting on You. That's good for us to do. But let me also add this. Waiting is more than just, you know, kind of having a seat and just sitting and waiting. If we were to go to a restaurant tonight, now, by the way, McDonald's does not count as a restaurant, okay? It just doesn't count. But if we were to go to a restaurant, they would take us to a seat and say, here's your seat. They'd give us a menu. And eventually someone would come to our table. And that someone, we call them a waiter or a waitress. Why do we call them a waiter or a waitress? Well, it's not that they're going to come and, well, let me just, I'll sit down here and I'll wait with you folks. No, if that were the case, we're going to leave the restaurant because we're not going to get any food like that, okay? But when we say they're going to wait on us, what are we saying? They're going to serve us. And you understand that is a big part of waiting on the Lord, serving Him and continuing to serve Him regularly. When we first went to Alaska, we went to Juneau. Juneau is an amazing place. Same type scenery. And perhaps when you were there, I don't know if you had an opportunity to see all the eagles that are in that part of the world, but there are certain times of the year when you see eagles everywhere. You look in the trees and you just see all these white dots all over the tree, and that's the white heads of the eagles. And they're fishing is what they're doing because the salmon are running upstream and they're watching the water. It's an amazing thing to see all these eagles. And, you know, it's where we live. We lived on Thunder Mountain Road. And when you came off the hard road, you turn on the Thunder Mountain Road. It wasn't even a mile long, but if you went to the end of Thunder Mountain Road, you would literally run into the mountain because the mountain just goes straight up. And I remember standing in our driveway, I could see the top of Thunder Mountain. I would look up there, and many times I'd see eagles just flying around up there. It's amazing to watch eagles fly. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. And I'd stand there and I'd watch them. And there were times that as I'd watch those eagles and they were flying, they were all on this side of the mountain. All of a sudden, there would be an eagle or two that apparently there'd be this gust of wind that would come in underneath their wings and just carry them up and over to the other side, and they would just disappear just like that. Amazing to watch. As I thought about that, I thought about waiting on the Lord, mounting up with wings as eagles. You know, often as we fly, if you will, through this life, we're going to come up to a mountain that seems like, how in the world could we ever get over that mountain? This is just insurmountable. There's just no way I could ever get to the other side of that. Perhaps in the area of missions, it could be that way for you. Even right now, you're up against that mountain. How can I get over to the other side of that mountain? And to you, I say, wait on the Lord. Mount up with wings as eagles. Why? Because in the season divinely appointed, God will bring that wind under your wings. And isn't it amazing that in Scripture, the Holy Spirit, wind is a symbolic designation of the Holy Spirit. God will bring that wind under your wings, bring you up, take you to the other side of that mountain, and do that only which God can do. But for you and I, we just need to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Again tonight I say, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Would you stand with me?